You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Give God a hand. Before you're seated, take time to turn to somebody next to you and shake hands and say good morning. So last week we talked about kind of slowing down and just slowing the pace of our life and not being so busy and rushed around about everything. But hopefully you had a chance to do that this week, that you were able to just slow down, take a deep breath, just pay attention to what God's doing. But if you haven't, now's the time to do that. Now's your chance. So we're going to sing a couple more songs. We just encourage you to stand up and sing with us and just take a moment to relax and slow down a little bit.
Standing here in your presence, in a grace so relentless, I am won by perfect love. Wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy. See, I'm wide awake, drawing clustered by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your love. Pursue me, lift my head to see your glory, Lord of all, so beautiful. Here in you I find shelter, captivated by the splendor of your face, my secret place. I'm wide awake, drawing close, stirred by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your love. Your love so deep is washing over. Is all I seek. You are my everything, Jesus Christ. You are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life. Your love so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I seek. You are my everything, Jesus Christ. You are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life. I'm wide awake, drawing close, stirred by grace, and all my heart is yours.
God, we thank you for this time of worship. God, we thank you that we can come to your house and just praise you freely. We ask, God, that as Mike brings the message, that you would just speak to us through your word, that we would just have open hearts to receive it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're in a new series called Freeway, and this series is about grace, it's about freedom, it's about second chances, and it's really about the process that we have to go through to get there in life. And so last week we talked about the first step, and it's a step that's probably the hardest because most of us aren't even aware of maybe some of the problems in our life. And so the first step was simply awareness. And we talked about that idea that we all have spiritual blind spots in our life. And awareness is just being able to just look into your life and see those blind spots and be aware of them. Just to know that they're there. Know that understand how your actions affect other people. That's really the first step. But we also talked last week about how this society we live in, it makes it really tough because our awareness increases as our hurry decreases. And we just live hurried lives where we're crazy, frantic, going place to place. And we think that society tells us we have to do that. And we don't really realize that it's a heart issue. And so we have to slow down and take some time for God. So that's step one, that awareness. But to get to step two, step two, I think, is just as difficult. And if we want to get to freedom, we have to be able to take the second step. And it's a step of discovery. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If we want to be free, then we've got to have the courage to face our fears. We've got to face the stuff in our past, the lies, the unresolved pain, the hurt from our past, and understand that we can trust God for our healing and we can trust God for our future. And really, that's the biggest part of discovery is just understanding that brokenness and that we're just messed up and broken and that we need a Savior. Now, what makes this tough is that in churches, you're not supposed to be messed up and broken. You're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to have life all together. And so we come here, and then for me to say, wait a minute, guys, we're messed up. We need Jesus. That's what makes this this topic so tough this morning. And so many of us, we don't like to admit that. We don't want to bring that stuff. We've got stuff in our past. We've got stuff we struggle with, and it's in the dark. And we don't want to bring that stuff into the light because we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. We don't want anyone to know about it. And so this morning, I hope that we can start getting to that place where we can bring stuff from the dark to the light. Last week, I shared a verse, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And it's simply our prayer for awareness. And let's go kind of go back and look at that again. It says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And so what's amazing about this verse is it helps us to really look inward. But here's the danger in this verse. If we read it out of context, it's easy to maybe miss a very important aspect of this verse. Here in verse 23 and 24, it sounds like that we're inviting God to search us and kind of find stuff in us that he doesn't know about. But if we back up to verse 1, this is what I love about this whole chapter. It says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, you know when I stand up, you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord." And so what we see right here is that we're not just inviting God to kind of search us for stuff he doesn't know. He already knows everything about us. What this prayer is really about is, God, would you help me to know me as he knows us? Because there's things that God knows about us that we don't even know about ourselves. And so that's what this discovery phase is all about. Can we get to that place where we open our eyes, we discover the truth about where we need God's healing in our life? And so just opening our eyes, being aware, and then discovering what's there. To do that, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about wisdom, we're going to talk about courage, and we're going to talk about faith. And so if you're following along in your notes this morning, let's kind of jump right in and get into this. The first thing, if we want to kind of go into this discovery process together, here's what we need. We need to have the wisdom to face our past. We need to have the wisdom to face our past. Do you ever wonder why you repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again in your life? Do you struggle with things? Do you have temptations? Do you have things in your life that you just mess up over and over again? Is it because you have a lack of discipline? Is it because you don't want to change bad enough? Is it because you don't really try hard enough? While those could be the reasons, those really typically aren't the reasons. The reason sometimes we don't realize we're in this battle in life, and what also we don't realize is that our struggles and our pain go much deeper than we ever realize. And so a lot of times what we are struggling with is kind of left over from the past. One of the things I've experienced in counseling and in talking with people is so often an action or a behavior or something, we all have those things in our life that when our buttons get pushed, we just react, right? That someone says something, and before we can even catch ourselves, we just say something, we do something, we respond in a way that's not healthy, that's not biblical, that doesn't exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And so what is that? What causes that type of response? It just kind of flows out of us. Well, one thing I've noticed in all counseling, so many times it's something that's happened in our past. It's pain, it's hurt, it's brokenness from our past. And then when we feel like somebody getting close to that brokenness, we feel like that's getting ready to repeat itself again, the first thing we do, we put up that wall, we build up our defenses, and we push back. And so understanding here that our past can drastically affect our response now, that's huge. That's part of this discovery process. One of the quotes I saw this week, it says, "Your past is not your past if it's still impacting your present." And for us to realize that our past, maybe it's something really deep in our life that's happened to us, brokenness, pain that we haven't dealt with. Maybe it's just something smaller. Maybe whatever it is, we've got to realize it can prevent us from being the person that God has called us to be if we don't have the wisdom to look into our past and understand what it is. Every single person in this room, every single one of us, you need healing in your life. And when we talk about healing in church, I mean, for many people, it's like that's the weird stuff of Christianity. But healing, and while I fully believe God can still heal people today, it's not just physical healing. It's not just sickness. It's also spiritual healing. It's also emotional healing. It's also healing us from all those things that have happened to us in our past. And so every single one of us needs healing. Here's the danger in church today. Like I said earlier, we think we have to have it all together. We think that we cannot have problems and come to church. We think we've got to get cleaned up and go to church, and everybody pretends like everything's perfect in life. We've got to realize, okay, if we want Jesus to heal us, we have to admit that we're sick. If people are going to be saved by Jesus, they've got to realize that they're lost first. And so for us as a church, there's tension here, but we're all right with the fact that people are going to come to this church that are messed up, that are struggling with sin, because this is where they need to be. When they realize they're struggling, when they come here, and even if they're in a sin, it's all right for them to be in church, because this is the place where they can find healing. This is the place where they can find deliverance. This is the place where they can find Jesus. And so we understand that that church is a place that's not just for perfect people who have it all together. It's a place for the broken. It's a place for the hurting. And so we've got to understand everyone needs healing. And so we don't look down on people who are struggling, because we need healing in our own way. And so one of the biggest lies that we buy into is that we can isolate ourselves from the past. We can kind of isolate ourselves from the pain and the hurt, and we can just go on in life like nothing ever happened. And I'm just telling you, you think, well, time will heal all wounds. Time doesn't heal all wounds, but Jesus can heal all wounds. And so we need Jesus. And if we don't learn to recognize the stuff in our past that's causing all these problems, if we don't deal with the pain, then what happens? If we don't transform the pain, we just transfer it to someone else. And I see this happen so often. I mentioned last week, hurt people hurt people. And there's truth there, because when there's stuff in our past that's undealt, that we don't deal with, then we just transfer it to someone else. And you do this, and I got to admit, I do this in my marriage all the time. I'll get mad at somebody or get frustrated with a situation. Who do I take it out on? The person that did it to me? No, it's my wife who's just happens to be there at the time when it's on my mind. Do you know what I mean? Can you relate to that? That you take out the stuff you're experiencing on the people around you, sometimes when they have nothing to do with it. We transfer the pain, we transfer the frustration, we transfer it to the people around us. And so if you've ever responded to somebody or someone because of the way they treated you or said something, and you're like, why did I do that? Well, it's because many times we haven't dealt with those things in our past. And so here's what I want us to do. We've got to look, and we've got to be able to see and understand with wisdom those things in our past that are causing problems. We just transfer the hurt from person to person. Can even be transferred from generation to generation. And maybe it's a secret sin that you're struggling with that no one knows about. And it causes you this shame and guilt and condemnation that you take out on others. Maybe it's abuse. Sexual abuse, physical abuse. Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's a divorce that your parents had. Maybe it's a miscarriage that you experienced. Maybe it's the bully from school. Maybe it's someone that's overbearing or critical, or your boss or a parent. And we deal with all this stuff in life, and we don't know what to do with it. And so we just act like everything's okay and that we have no problems. One of the things I love about the Bible is that story after story, person after person, we don't just see the good. We get to see the struggle. We get to see the emotion. We get to see the realness of people in Scripture. If you got your Bibles with you, flip over to Romans chapter 7. It's going to be our main passage for today. Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. And what we see in Romans 7, and what I love about Romans 7, it's about Paul here, and this is Paul writing. Paul, we look at him, and he's like the greatest missionary who has ever lived, right? He established church after church. Most of our New Testament is written by Paul. All the letters, the epistles to the different churches, the pastoral epistles, all this stuff that we have written by Paul. And so we look at him, and I mean, I would think this is a guy, he has got it all together. But we see that he is aware. We see that he has some wisdom here in dealing and looking at his life. He said, I'm the chief sinner. I'm the chief sinner. And then in Romans 7 here, we see him admit some stuff that, man, this just doesn't sound right for a church leader to talk about. Let's look at Romans 7, verse 14. This whole portion up to this, he's been talking about the law and how the law is good, but what the law does, it makes us realize that we're messed up and that we need a Savior. That's what the law does. It reveals in us that we cannot be perfect, that we are broken and we need a Savior. So let's jump right in. Romans 7, verse 14. The trouble is not with the law, for it's spiritual, it's good. The trouble is with me. Okay, if I go back to last week, this is a perfect example of awareness. He's saying the problem is not everybody else. The problem, hey, it's me. I cannot blame everybody else for this sin in my life, for this struggle I have. I'm the problem. And he says, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But I know that what I'm doing is wrong. He's aware of it. He understands this. And he says, that just shows I agree that the law is good, so I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I cannot. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It's sin living in me that does it. Okay, imagine, and just kind of put this, imagine if I got up this morning and said, okay, you know, all those things, I cannot do right. I keep doing what's wrong. I do it over and over again. Y'all would look at me and say, wait a minute, but you're supposed to be the preacher. You're supposed to have it all together. You're not supposed to struggle. Here's Paul saying, okay, guys, let me be honest. Let me be real for a minute. Life is tough. We are messed up and broken, and we need healing. There's a struggle going on. There's a battle going on inside of every single one of us. No one is exempt from this. I have struggles just like you have struggles. Why? Because the flesh and the spirit are at war. It's going on inside of us. And so Paul, he's not only aware of this, he's digging down deep and talking about this struggle inside. So many people are afraid to go there. I'm a leader in the church. I can't talk about my struggle. My family, they go to church and we're respected in the community, and I don't want anybody to see that I have real struggles. And so we just are afraid completely to go there and talk about it and deal with those things. But if you don't deal with the junk that's happened in your past, I'm telling you, it's going to prevent you from following Jesus right now. You'll think of excuse after excuse. You'll cover things up. You'll deal with the shame and the guilt and the condemnation. You'll just want to close your eyes and act like nothing's there. And so the first step is just having the wisdom. Let's just have the wisdom to open up and talk about our past. The second step as we keep going is you can't stay there. You got to deal with it. You got to have the courage to deal with it. So the second step, you need to have the courage to deal with it. Repeat after me here. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. Is that hard to say? Let's just be honest. As a church, we've got to be able to say, it's okay to not be okay. You know what comes real easy is denial. It's hard. It takes courage to say, I need help. I have a problem. I'm struggling with this. I'm frustrated. I'm depressed. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm anxious. All those things. It's hard for us to admit that we need help. You know, if you had this same conversation in a recovery meeting, you know, it would be completely different than in a church, because they understand they are broken. They understand that they have to admit that they have a problem. They understand that they need community to get help. And so what they figured out in recovery is what the church is supposed to be. But instead, church treats you, if you have a problem, that you can't be here, that you're messed up. And instead of understanding that this is the place where you can find healing, it's okay to not be okay. We create this culture where someone asks you how you're doing and you say, "Oh, I'm great. I'm fine. Everything's okay. And yeah, family's great. Work's great." And we just, that's just expected. We don't really, if you go up to somebody and says, "Well, how are you doing today?" You really, just be honest, you don't expect them to say, "Terrible. Can I tell you about my problems?" You're like, "No, I really didn't want to hear about your problems. I just wanted you to say okay." And we say okay, and we go along, talk about the weather and talk about the kids and talk about the grandkids and go on in life, and everything's happy. But if we're serious and we say, "How are you doing?" then it means we need to listen. And it means we need to be able to express ourselves and say, "You know what? I don't understand why I'm struggling with it. I'm having a problem right now. Would you pray for me? Or can we, let's talk about this. Let's sit down and have coffee. Let's talk. Let's work through." That's like a foreign concept to so many Christians, that we can work and open up and talk about our problems. This study we're doing, Freeway, it was developed by several different churches, and been a number of larger churches that did it. One of the churches that did it was out in Nashville, Tennessee. Just like 2 weeks ago, the pastor there, church of like 8,000 people, right? Big church. He stood up and he quoted, and he said, "I'm not okay." He didn't have any moral failure. He didn't have any, addiction problems. He just stood up and said, "Guys, I need a break. I'm tired. I'm burned out. I'm frustrated. I'm not giving my best to my family." And he stepped away from ministry. And that breaks my heart, because I can relate. I can understand what he's going through. But thank goodness he had the ability, before his life went off the rails, before he lost everything, to be able to step back and say, "I'm not okay. I need help." And I fully believe his church is surrounding him, come around him. You know, they're there for him, to help him. But here's the thing. You know, that, to me, that hardly ever happens. Usually you hear about stuff like that after the affairs and after the alcohol problems and after everything falls apart. But this should be normal for us to stand up and say, you know, just raise our hand. "Hey, guys, I need prayer. Hey, guys, would you just..." You know, it should be part of this Christian community we live in, where we can reach out and support one another, pray for each other. That's why our life groups are so important at Cornerstone, because that's so hard to happen here on Sunday morning. And if we continue on with Paul in Romans 7, we see that he has some courage here to go through this discovery process. Romans 7, verse 21, it says this: "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind." Okay, he's discovering this. He's looking inward. He's understanding there is a battle going on. This power, he says, it makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. And then verse 24, "Oh, what a miserable person I am." So if you ask Paul, "How you doing, bud?" "Oh, what a miserable person I am." It's not the answer you would expect from the greatest missionary, right? He's saying, "What a miserable, who's going to free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Do you understand the significance of this? That the Christian life is not easy. It's a battle. It's a struggle. There's a war going on inside of you day after day between the spirit and the flesh. So here's my question for you. Are you going to keep acting like nothing's wrong and like you've got everything under control? Do you really want to change? Or do you want it just to appear like you're trying to change? For most Christians, okay, this sermon's going to turn the corner, I promise. I know this is depressing. You know, like you're going to leave here like, man, you just beating us up. I'm going to leave here. I'm a mess. Hold on. But for most Christians, let's be honest, if you're just, you want it to appear, I went to Bible study. I've got all this Bible knowledge. I know this and I know this. That's the appearance of trying to change. It's much harder when you start dealing with the heart. It's much harder when you're dealing with the will. It's much harder when you realize that this life of following Jesus is a lot more than just knowing stuff about Jesus. It's about imitating his life, the way he lived. It's about thinking and acting and being like Jesus. And so this battle that's going on, I don't want you to be okay with just the appearance of trying to be a good person. I don't want you to be okay with the appearance of trying to change. I want people to know the true you. And if we're going to see true life transformation in the church, we've got to get to the place where our desire to transform is greater than our desire to hide. For so many people, our desire to hide outweighs our desire to be transformed. We like hiding. We like just being anonymous. And so again, if I just ended right here and say, okay, guys, let's leave. We're done. It's not real. You're not going to leave here, you know, encouraged and uplifted. And you know, that's not, I mean, we've been talking about, we're messed up. We're broken. We all have stuff in our past that prevents us from following Jesus in the present. There's a battle going on inside of us. Everybody has struggles. We can't hide it. That's pretty depressing stuff. But here's where it gets better, okay? The third point this morning. You need to have faith that healing is going to happen in your future. You need to have faith that it can change, that healing can happen. There's not a single person in this room that can drift so far that they can't find healing and they can't find hope. If you're here this morning, you've messed up. We're not here to debate how you messed up and what you did to get you to this point. But what we do want to talk about is you can find healing, you can find hope, you can find forgiveness through Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. And so that's more important than me telling you, hey guys, I love you, I want you. No, I mean, here's what's more important is that Jesus loves you and he can give you healing. There's nothing that you have done that will prevent Jesus from loving you. Just again, we need to hear that there's nothing we can do to make Jesus love us more. Because his love for us is not based on what we have done. It's based on what he did for us on the cross. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he showed his great love for us. And so this morning, I want you to know that healing is possible. And I believe that with every ounce of my being, that you're here this morning and that you can find hope and peace and comfort through Jesus. And so that's a completely different type of comfort and peace than you will find through any type of human effort. Let's keep going in Romans 7. We just ended with Romans 7. What a miserable man I am. Verse 25, very next verse. This is what Paul says. He says, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And let's keep going here. Romans 8. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. There's no shame and guilt here. Why? Because we belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses, it says, was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. And he's just saying here, you know, we cannot be saved by doing good things as much as we would like to. And we could try to say the right thing, do the right thing. But our sinful nature, because of this battle, because of this war, we are broken. We are messed up. And so what happens because of that? So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. He sent Jesus to rescue us. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, what do they think about? They think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to peace. Listen to this now, verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. There's so much right there that you need to hear this morning. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And then Paul gives us this reminder here, right? If you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, you don't have Christ. You don't even belong to Christ. So in other words, if you belong to Christ, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and that is what controls you, not the spirit of slavery to sin. We don't have to give in to sin. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. That's the Spirit that gives us the wisdom to know right from wrong. That's the Spirit that gives us comfort and peace in our time of struggle. That's the Spirit that helps us understand what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's the Spirit that helps us understand Scripture as we're reading it. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. Okay, and then verse 10 says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so the connotation there is, how powerful is that Spirit? It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That Spirit is in you. So don't say that Spirit is not strong, that you cannot do it, that you can't overcome sin, that you can't beat that addiction. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you as a believer. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit within you. The sin problem that we all struggle with, it is complex, right? That's why Jesus comes. That's why Jesus comes to heal the broken and the lost and the hurting. That's why Jesus came to rescue us, because we tried to rescue ourselves through the law and it didn't work. We realized that we need a Savior. And so God came to earth in the person of Jesus to set us free. And he lived a perfect life that none of us could live. And then on the cross, he died taking the punishment that each and every one of us deserve. That's how we have life. That's how we have forgiveness. Colossians 2 says this: you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. See, the story that Jesus gives us is a story of redemption. It's a story of rescue. It's a story of freedom. And it starts when we are willing to be aware that we are broken. When we're really willing to discover, hey, we need a Savior. Instead of pretending like everything is all right, that we understand that Jesus is there for us and he is the one that does the healing. That's grace. And anytime we attach anything to grace and say Jesus plus this will bring us happiness or bring us healing or bring us fulfillment or bring us salvation, what we've done is we completely negated grace. The truth is God will give you a second chance. He will give you a third chance. He will give you a 100th chance, because healing is always possible. Now that's true until Jesus comes back. And then that's a whole nother story, right? But for right now, if you are here today, if you are listening to me, you have the chance to find healing through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, let's kind of wrap up here. Into Romans 8, we've just been talking this whole struggle that Paul has, and this is what Paul ends this thought with. He says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last point I want to make this morning. Write this down. God is bigger than your history, and He is a whole lot more concerned with your destiny. He's bigger than your history, and He's a whole lot more concerned with your destiny. Jesus is on a mission. He asked us to go looking into our story to find the broken and the busted up things, and He will bring healing and peace to those things in our life. We have to be willing to admit Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise we have from Him. That when we deal with that stuff, when we have the courage, when we have the faith, when we have the wisdom, that we can bring it out. We can find healing. We can find hope. Satan wants nothing more than us just to hide and act like everything's okay. Satan wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything about us. And so freedom means that we are fearless in dealing with this stuff so that we can follow Jesus with everything within us, that nothing is holding us back. There's nothing there that's saying, you know, I would follow Jesus, but there's this stuff in my past and you don't understand what I've done, and I could do this, but well, I've hurt this person, I've said this. And so all that stuff just prevents us from following after Jesus. Let it go and follow after Jesus wholeheartedly. We can find healing. And so your job today is just to come to Him, to lay it all down at the cross, to come to Him and bring your past, bring your mistakes, bring your screw-ups, your mistakes, your mess, and lay it at Jesus and say, I need healing and I need help. When we do that, He's faithful, He's just, and He'll forgive us and He'll help us, and He'll walk with us every step of the way. I'm just telling you this, and this may... If you're here this morning and you say, I just don't have anything. I don't have any problems in my past. That's why this sermon is for you. Awareness, discovery. If we want growth, we've got to be able to talk about this. We've got to be able to recognize the struggles that we all face. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up and let's pray. Would you guys join me? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for the ability for us to bring You our mess. And You love us anyway. Lord, we're so thankful for that grace. We don't deserve it, but You've granted it to us. Lord, help us all just to come to You today. Help there not be one single person in this room that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior. Whatever it is in our past, whatever we struggle with, help us come to You and lay it down. Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning. And I just pray that for all of us, we can find peace, we can find hope, we can find healing through Jesus. And Your word, it just tells us so plainly that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, when we believe in our heart that God, You raised Him from the dead, then we will be saved. We will have the Holy Spirit inside of us, walking with us and helping us. So Heavenly Father, this morning, let us respond as we close out this service and help us just come to You holding nothing back. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we close this morning, as we enter into our response time, there's a number of ways you can respond this morning. Maybe you want to come to the cross and write out your prayer request. request, your hurt, your struggle, and just leave it there. Leave your mess there at the cross. Maybe you want to come and receive the Lord's Supper just to celebrate how much Jesus really loves us, that His body was broken, His blood was poured out for you and for me. I'll be in the back to talk, to pray. Some of you have a commitment to make. You can write, let us know through your communication card. You can talk to us. You can pray. Some of you just want to stand right where you are and praise Jesus for who He is and for what He's done and for what He's going to do. And so let's just stand up. Let's close together this morning. Let's praise Jesus.
Defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoner we seek. This is God in His holy place. This is God. Strong to save us, yes. You unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Chosen me, and love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Sing from my mother's, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me.
Child.
has fallen aside, and Christ in me is rising up on the inside, and the old fear has fallen aside, and Christ in me is rising up on the inside even now, and the old fear has been crucified. Yes, oh, and Christ in me is rising up on the inside. No, oh, 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 no, oh, 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 oh. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand.
Pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you claim us as sons and daughters, God, that no matter how far we've strayed from the path, God, that you're standing there waiting on us, that you're running just to grab us and just hug us and hold us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. We ask that you would just help us to live in that freedom as we go through our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.